because Jesus is such a wonderful friend and holy Lord, it is really tough to deal with what we're going to deal with tonight. When I see men who stand up and claim to be a minister of Jesus Christ, who claim to represent this wonderful Lord, and really they make a mockery of Him, of His power, they're fleecing the sheep, and in some cases I think are actually worse than atheists. And so tonight I want to look at what the Bible considers true biblical healing. We're actually going to go right back to the passage we were in this morning. So take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, as you're turning there, virtually every aberrant idea of the Pentecostal and charismatic movements of the last 60 years or so was spawned or traced some way to a man by the name of Oral Roberts. Now, it wasn't until the 20th century, 1901, that we even had the charismatic movement reintroduced into Christian circles. It started in the Topeka, Kansas area, then very quickly went to the West Coast, Los Angeles area, the Azusa Street meetings early 1907 or so. And the reintroduction of speaking in tongues. So we had some aberrant things going on, but really in the 1950s, things really heated up with Oral Roberts. One day he was reading this passage in 3 John, verse 2. "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." And so he came away with the feeling, told his wife, "Honey, God wants us to be rich and healthy. That's God's goal for every one of His children." And so that would be the foundation for his very financially successful television ministry. And he introduced a concept called seed faith. Now, do you know what that seed faith is all about? What you do, you give whatever money you give to my ministry, it's like a kernel going into the ground. And it will spring forth and bring forth a hundredfold. And so the more you give, the more you get. And actually what it turned out to be, the more you give, the more they got. That's what it was. Well, it was extremely successful. And so spawned a number of imitations. And so as a result, he was preceded by Pentecostal ministers such as John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, Amy Semple McPherson, A.A. Allen. Oral Roberts' contemporaries were men like Kenneth Hagin, a woman named Catherine Kuhlman. And of course, Oral Roberts probably became more famous because he established a university out in Oklahoma, Tulsa. And from this university, he has trained men such as Joel Osteen, Creflo Dollar, Ted Haggard, Kenneth Copeland, Carlton Pearson, Billy Joe Dougherty. All of these are alumni of Oral Roberts University. But probably the one who has been credited with taking the mantle from Oral Roberts, who passed away in 2009, the one who has been kind of the anointed successor, one who views Oral Roberts as really his mentor in the ministry, as a man by the name of Benny Hinn. And I want to read this passage again in Acts chapter 14, and then I want to show you some YouTube video clips. And I know it's kind of painful to watch these, but this is really what is going on. One will be him supposedly healing a 20-year-old young lady so that she can walk. I think this is particularly appropriate since we're going to read of Paul doing that here. But then also, I think it's an NBC expose of what goes on there at his meeting. So, again, Acts chapter 14, verse 8. "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. So it's not just that he had, you know, weak muscles, but his legs were not formed properly. He could not walk. Never had, and the expectation was he never could. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. All right, so this guy is not being carefully held by each arm and dragged around a platform, okay? This guy leaps up. Obviously, he's got strength. He's got balance. And he's walking around. This is so stunning. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down upon us." And we talked about what they were thought of as Zeus and Hermes, Jupiter and Mercury. Verse 14, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We're also men of like passions with you." All right, so they're not passing the buckets at this point for donations. Hey, you saw what happened to him? That could happen to you. Let's see the money. Okay, no, not at all. They're really downplaying their role in all of this. In fact, they turn it right back to an opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see that again in verses 16, 17, 18. And then verse 19, there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, threw him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. All right, Paul is not doing these miracles so that he could be loved by the masses, so that he could build a mansion in their midst. He's doing these, and we're going to see in just a little bit, that typically, with true biblical healing, they didn't profit really from it. Often they just angered the enemies of Christ and, in fact, received opposition as a result of this. But we just saw a biblical healing, the gift of healing that had been imparted to Paul, a man walking. And now I want to show you two clips. And so, Paul, if we could cue up that first one. We'll turn the lights off here on the side.
Telegasis. It means that she cannot feel the nerves in her legs. She has never stood like this before. She has never walked like this before. Every night they have to lift her and put her into the bed from the wheelchair. She's never done this before. And tonight the power of God came on her and she's actually taking steps.
These are the first steps she's ever taken.
This is her sister.
Out of the wheelchair and put her in bed and then back into the wheelchair. She doesn't feel the nerves in her body and it gets worse every time she grows up. And she's taking the first steps in the service tonight. She's come up the steps.
She's taken her first steps ever in her life tonight. She can't even feel her. Come on! Keep her walking. She's using her legs for the first time. The girl, the mother is crying here. Her sister. Come on, baby, come on. She is using those legs for the first time. The girl has never used those legs. Look at her. People, let's give the Lord a mighty, mighty, mighty hand of praise. Just let go of her. Hold the girl. Help her walk. Come on. Everyone, lift your voices, pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, people. Lift your voices, pray in the Holy Ghost. you got to understand that this girl has never, ever, ever used her muscles before. These muscles have never been used ever in her life. How old is she?
20 years old.
20? I thought she's a lot younger than that.
She's not. She's 20 years old. She's older than me.
How old are you? You're 18 years old. She's your older sister. You've never seen her walk. Never. You always have to carry her. And put her in bed and out of bed.
Yeah, and just put her on the toilet and then out.
Put her on the toilet, off the toilet. Keep her walking, boys. Keep exercising those legs. Come on, stand up and pray. Stand up and pray. Back. Keep her walking, keep her walking. You know, I see my son. He's crying so hard. You see, Joshua, he's crying so hard. These guys are crying here. Keep her walking. She's using her leg for the first time. Can we give Jesus a big shout of?
You could tell if they let go of her arm, she would collapse immediately.
He is one of the most popular personalities in the evangelical world.
Tonight is your night for a miracle.
And one of the most controversial, and whether he's on his daily TV show.
Someone has been healed of cancer, stomach cancer.
Receive the fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire on you in Jesus' mighty name.
Or whether he's preaching at the live crusades that attract millions around the world, one thing is sure. Benny Hinn is never dull.
The tumor fell to the platform. I mean, it fell to the platform. We saw it was something else, and it broke in pieces as it hit the stage. But I believe certain demons have come into America through this new group of people coming in from Haiti and from all these countries, bringing their devils with them.
Showman, salesman, businessman, Benny Hinn has built himself into a kind of one-man multinational religious conglomerate. It's estimated his ministry brings in more than $200 million a year, mostly based on his pledge that you will be healed if you have enough faith, and especially if you attend his crusades. 4 years ago, we took our hidden cameras inside Benny Hinn's organization. Tonight, we'll tell you what's happened to him since. But our story isn't only about the man who promises miracles, but also about a remarkable little girl who is looking for one.
Step out of your sickness, step out of your disease, and come into the river!
He calls them miracle crusades. And as always, Benny Hinn's appearance 4 years ago in Calgary was a finely tuned event.
Cancer cannot stand in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Cancer is only a name, but there's a higher name than cancer. That's Jesus.
It all builds towards the miracle healing that Hinn maintains is channeled from God through him. The healing everyone here is waiting for.
Fire on ya! Fire!
What you see on TV are the lucky ones allowed up on stage. But we found out how those people who actually meet Benny Hinn are chosen.
We interviewed a man who saw those miracle crusades firsthand as one of Pastor Benny's security detail. He agreed to talk with us if we disguised his identity. We called him Andrew.
How do they pick the ones they want to go on stage at that point?
They have staff members that go through and give them a quick interview. And they'll ask them, what's wrong with you? Oh, I've had rheumatoid arthritis of my left shoulder. I can't lift it. All of a sudden, can you lift your shoulder? Because if you can't lift your shoulder, you can't go on stage.
According to Andrew, the screening system has one purpose, to keep the truly sick or disabled away from Benny Hinn.
Those people are never allowed near the stage.
In our original broadcast, viewers were captivated by a mother and daughter we met in the stands at the Calgary Crusade. Janice Brulotte is a lifelong believer whose 8-year-old Grace couldn't walk because of a severe neuromuscular disorder.
I said, you know, honey, we could stay up here because you know what? I said, Jesus is up here. And she said, no, mommy, she said, I'd like to go down and see if Benny Hinn could pray for me. I said, are you sure? She said, yes, mommy.
Hoping for their miracle, they tried to make their way towards the stage, but they were intercepted by Hinn screeners, who ordered them to sit down.
Grace and I moved over to the side. We sat and waited, and Grace asked me if I could help her to try and walk. And that was kind of her faith in action. And so I picked her up, and we tried walking back and forth. And that was kind of a hard moment.
We caught up with Janice and Grace as they fled from the arena, their hopes of a miracle, even a prayer from Pastor Benny, now gone.
It just kept saying, is she healed? And like, there was such a big, like, rush. Like,
yeah.
And, she just wanted to pray for us.
That was almost 4 years ago. Grace Brulotte is now 11.
The story goes on to talk about how she's dealing with very severe handicaps, physical handicaps, but she plays the piano. She was singing in a Easter program or something, sitting in her special chair and really being used the Lord to touch hearts. And yet you can see the devastation on the part of this mother and daughter. Like, how come God's not healing? What's wrong with us? What's wrong with God? Well, I want to take a look at some truths concerning biblical healing that we did not see on the screen, but we see in the Scriptures. And I submit to you that today's healing gift is not biblical. What people claim to have, a healing gift, that is not the biblical gift of healing. First of all, biblical healing was legitimate. Again, if we saw in our passage in verse 8, this man was impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. And this was true of both of the incidents that we saw. But the second incident was far worse than the first incident, so they would not even have her come to the platform because that would have made Benny Hinn look bad. And yet, it's interesting that the failure on the part of the faith healer is always blamed on a lack of faith of the person they're trying to heal. It's not my fault that you're not healed. It's your fault. You just didn't have enough faith. Because Benny Hinn expressly teaches that it is always God's will to heal. By the way, tell that to the Apostle Paul, who prayed 3 times that God would deliver him. And God says, no, my strength is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And I didn't want to spend the time, but we could have continued watching, and this young girl is having a great ministry in the midst of very difficult physical circumstances. A 2004 investigative documentary aired by the Canadian Broadcasting Channel used hidden cameras to demonstrate that those with serious medical conditions, such as quadriplegics, mentally handicapped, those with obvious physical ailments, were not allowed to come on stage and, in fact, were pushed off to the sides of the auditorium where the cameras could not see them. You know, the scriptures, often with the gift of healing, the scriptures show us instances where the people who were healed had no faith and they were still healed. Remember when Jesus healed the 10 lepers? Only one came back, and that man was truly healed spiritually as well as physically. You had instances of Jesus casting out demons when they were not looking to be healed. Paul did that with this slave girl. Remember at Philippi? She wasn't asking to be healed. Nobody had brought her to Paul so that the demons would be cast from her. Paul just did that. Paul, Peter, Jesus himself all raised people from the dead. And I can tell you, those dead people didn't exercise a lot of faith. They were just kind of lying there. People often will use that verse, "Your faith has made you well," when really a more accurate translation, "Your faith has saved you." So being made well means being saved from your sin. The consequences of that has nothing to do with immediate physical healing. So first of all, biblical healing was legitimate. I mean, people who had never seen, never walked, people who were dead, these were verifiable healings. Number two, biblical healing was just secondary. It was not even the primary motion. You did not see Jesus or the apostles hosting healing conferences or crusades. They were out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if there happened to be somebody there that needed some physical healing, they would do that. And often Jesus would say, "But don't tell anybody about this." He didn't want that to become a distraction because that was not the most important. Physical healing was not the most important. In our scriptures of this passage, notice in verse 9, it says, "The same," this young man there, "the same heard Paul speak," or literally, "the same was listening to Paul preaching." In other words, every day this young man was there listening very intently. And Paul said, "Boy, this man has faith to believe what I am saying." This man was becoming a Christian at this point. Interesting, the man was not there for healing. He was there for the gospel. The healing was just a secondary thing. In fact, Matthew tells us, Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, verse 4, tells us that a wicked and adulterous generation is going to be seeking after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it except for the sign of Jonah, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't need any more miraculous healings today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is quite sufficient, and the completed scriptures quite sufficient. Benny Hinn admits that people don't come to hear me preach. They want to see something. So obviously, the emphasis in Benny Hinn's ministry is the miraculous, the healing, not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I also see in chapter 14, verse 10, where Paul says with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and he walked. Third, biblical healing is complete. This was not what you saw. I felt bad for that young lady being paraded around almost. An object to help fill the pockets of this charlatan. No, this man immediately and completely was healed. He leaped up, began to walk. This was the way all of the healing miracles of Jesus and the apostles were. ABC Nightline in 2009 reported, quote, "Hinn admits he does not have medical verification of any of his healings. In fact, some of his supposed healings have turned out not to be real." four seriously ill Kenyans were released from a hospital in Nairobi and went to one of his crusades there. All four died at the crusade. Not only was the healing complete, but it was immediate. And therefore, these healings were verifiable. You know, I just get so upset. Okay, you come. Oh, you're healed! Boy, I don't feel healed. Ah, you've got to believe that by faith. Your body, the flesh, will be warring against the spirit. And so even though you still feel like you've got rheumatoid arthritis, you really don't. Oh, wow, okay. And at some point, your body will catch up with your faith. Now, if any time along that process you begin to doubt, then you lose your healing. Well, that's kind of a no-lose situation for Benny Hinn. Yeah, you're hurting all over your body. Well, you're healed. Well, I don't feel healed. Well, you are. Just believe it. And if you ever stop believing, then you're not healed. Okay. One investigator, Mike Thomas, wrote, "If God cures you, if God cures through Hinn, He does not cure ailments such as permanent paralysis, brain damage, retardation, physical deformities, missing eyes, or other obvious ailments." Later, Mike Thomas concluded, "If I'd seen miracles at Hinn's crusades, I would have been happy to trumpet it. But in retrospect, I think they do more damage to Christianity than the most committed atheist." When Hinn provided Christian Research Institute, this is Hank Hanegraaff's organization, he provided them his three best verifiable cases of miraculous healing. So out of the millions that he's done, you know, just give us three. Well, all three cases were poorly documented and confused, wrote Hank Hanegraaff of CRI. And the other thing he says, too, is that if you are not healed, it's probably because you didn't give enough money. So if you're not healed, it's not my fault. You just didn't have enough faith to give enough money to be healed. I don't see Paul putting a financial restraint at all on his healing. I never see that in Jesus' case. In fact, I see Jesus giving, not taking. By the way, I do believe that there is biblical healing today, but it's not the gift of healing. In other words, for instance, my father-in-law, I really believe that was a miraculous work of God to preserve his life. When they say there's 0% chance of you recovering and not being affected mentally and physically, and he doesn't have any mental limitations, and it was a waitress at a Cracker Barrel who brought him back to life, that's really very remarkable. But you know what? He's going to rehab. He's getting stronger and stronger. We praise the Lord for answers to prayer for physical healing. But that's not the gift of healing. Not what Benny Hinn is claiming or what we see the apostles using. Fifth, I see that biblical healing in the Scripture was self-effacing. What happens when Paul and Barnabas recognize that they're ready to worship them? They say, no, we are just normal men like you. Our Lord avoided superficial publicity and curiosity seeking that resulted from his miracle working. Benny Hinn told the TBN Praise-a-thon audience in 2000, quote, "I believe that God is healing people while they're making a pledge, a monetary pledge, tonight. There are people getting healed who are making pledges. And basically, if you don't get healed, you didn't send enough money in." Hinn's estimated net worth, by the way, is $42 million. A few years ago, he bought all of his entourage first-class tickets on the Concorde that flew from here to Europe Each ticket, $8,850 apiece. His party stayed in first-class hotels, five-star hotels in Europe, at a cost of more than $2,000 per night. He lives in an oceanfront mansion worth over $10 million, drives the latest luxury cars, like a Mercedes SUV. He also has a Mercedes convertible. Now his organization owns its own luxury jet. He wears diamond Rolex watches, diamond rings, gold bracelets, custom suits. And just recently I heard that he was staying in Milan for a few nights at the most expensive hotel in Milan, in the Royal Suite, at a cost of $10,000 a night. The room itself was 5,000 square feet. But he does tell his people that give that all the money is going to ministry purposes. Biblical healing is self-effacing. It's all about Christ, not about getting rich. This is not biblical healing. Biblical healing was gospel-focused, and we saw how Paul then turned right around and began to preach the gospel through verses 15 and 18. Hinn, on the other hand, under the power of the Holy Spirit, has claimed bizarre doctrinal inventions like the Trinity consists of nine persons. Think, wait, Trinity, nine? Okay, there's something wrong there. That God the Father walks around in a spirit body, complete with hands, mouth, hair, eyes. That Jesus assumed a satanic nature on the cross. And that doesn't even get into his health and wealth prosperity gospel teaching, which is so counter to what the Word of God teaches. By the way, did you notice how he throws the Holy Spirit around on platform? He'll go like this. He'll throw the power of the Spirit, the fire of the Spirit, and then people just fall backwards. That's not my God being tossed about. And finally, verses 19 through 20, we saw this. Biblical healing was not for popularity's sake, for prestige, for aligning your pockets. In fact, biblical healing often was very unpopular. Jesus healed the man born blind, and both Jesus and the man got in trouble with the religious authorities in the temple. He healed on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees were ready to crucify him. When Jesus healed the maniac of Gadara, the people of the region forced him to leave. His raising of Lazarus from the dead was the straw that broke the camel's back. The people who were his enemies, they could not argue what had happened, because Lazarus is walking around alive. There were enough witnesses to show that this was something that was supernatural. And so their answer to that was, oh man, now we're going to have to kill Jesus and Lazarus. Very verifiable, very unpopular. Paul's healing of the demon-possessed slave girl landed him in prison with a beating. Peter's healing of the lame man in the temple landed him in prison with a beating. These men were not doing these healings in order to be thought well of in the general population. In the Scripture, miraculous power was given to the apostles to verify their messages coming from God. As the New Testament was being written, then these occurrences began to wane over time. By the end of the writing of the New Testament, by the end of the apostolic era, these gifts had ceased. I don't have time to read them all, but Romans chapter 15, verses 18 through 19, Paul tells how God had given him these special gifts, these miraculous gifts, signs and wonders, that he might fully preach the gospel of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. All right, so miraculous powers given to the apostles. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, the apostles. God also bearing them witness, the apostles, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. And it's interesting that the writer of Hebrews does not include himself in that group. Those apostles who did such remarkable signs and wonders and miracles. So biblical healing is healing that's legitimate. It's not like, yeah, I have a sore finger. Oh, you're healed! And if you think your finger's still sore, it's really not. You know. No, it's legitimate. I mean, these are people who had no eyes, who had no legs, who had never walked, had never seen, had been dead 4 days. Biblical healing is secondary. It's not the most important thing. It's just kind of an ancillary thing, a means to an end, not the end itself. It's always complete. It's always immediate. It's self-effacing, gospel-focused, and often unpopular. And what you see today is not biblical healing.